Listen up, hockey fans. You're in the right place. A no-holds-barred debate between two hockey fans. Stay up to date with current NHL news, even the controversial. Welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts, Brad Brood and Blake Friars.
Good evening and welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast, episode 201. I am the host of the show, Brad Brood, joined alongside my co-host, Blake Friars. And Blake, we are full of technical difficulties. You'd think. We just finished our 200th episode. 200! Yeah. And we're on to 201, and both of us have things going on. I got a video issue, and you got an audio issue, and yeah.
Yeah, we're here, though. 201 should be good.
Out of our system. We're all systems go now, so hopefully it's good. Christmas behind us. New Year's is in the books, and hoping for a bigger and better 2023.
Yep. That's for sure. No, how was your Christmas? Good?
Good. How was yours?
It was good. Went to Grandma's for Christmassy supper. Then we just hung around, played some games at home. Every other year we get together, like cousins, aunts, uncles, but that's next year. So, it was good.
Yeah.
What'd you do?
Went for parents and, that's what we did.
Nice.
Just hung out and a lot of family, and it was good. It was a little laid back and shoveled snow and had Christmas and everything was good.
Yeah, it's snowing a lot here too. It's brutal.
Did you see what the Columbus Blue Jackets gave to their season ticket holders for a Christmas gift?
No, I did not see that. No.
A fanny pack.
A fanny pack? Am I surprised?
No, I'm not either. No. I saw it and I just kind of chuckled. I thought, well, you know, it's nice to give a gift.
That doesn't surprise me though.
But I don't know who was in the board office.
Give away free jerseys. I mean, it's easy to do. You only got 5,000 to give away, right?
Well, they don't even have 5,000. I just was like, oh, you know, I mean, it's nice to give a gift to your season ticket holders. And I'm like, you mean you went to the vote and it was like the fanny pack beat out the hat?
Yeah, I mean, wow.
Did you watch any of the Winter Classic? Because I watched absolutely nothing of it.
I saw the last 15 minutes while I was at the gym today of the third period. So saw like the last bit. I'm not a big Winter Classic guy.
The lusters wore off so bad.
It's just like,
you got to have it New Year's Day. You got to have it New Year's Day.
At least next year. We're getting two new teams. Boston and Pittsburgh are playing like six each. Like it's Detroit, Chicago, Washington. It's just a repeat. At least next year they're going with Seattle and Vegas. Like, I don't know. I think it would have been cool to see Seattle play Vancouver. No?
No.
Like that would make more sense than Seattle, Vegas.
No, it won't. Because 90%, because the States, you're not going to get, people aren't watching the Vancouver Canucks in the States. They're not. They don't care. They're not going to watch a mediocre Vancouver Canucks team.
I understand. Okay, zip it.
I know. I'm serious. I'm not trying to be mean. Just like they wouldn't want you got to have for the Winter Classic. You have that Canadian. They have the Heritage Classic. You can't.
They don't even do it every year though. So
It's good they don't do it every year, Blake. That's a blessing, like dude. No, I don't like it. I don't like outdoor games. I don't.
You wouldn't go at Battle of Alberta. You wouldn't go.
No, I'd rather go to a Battle of Alberta inside where I know the game's going to be played on good ice and I know the game's going to be played and I know that I can see. Cold. I'm not out in left field in this 37th row with a pillar.
It's Commonwealth, so it actually wouldn't be too bad.
Blake, you're so far away.
It's in a football stadium, though. It wouldn't be that bad. It wouldn't be as bad as a baseball field.
No, but it's still not good.
Well, I will say this. Fenway Park is the perfect place to have an outdoor game because it's so small. Like you're not even that. I was looking at the game, you know, and they're showing like crowd shots and they weren't even that far away from the ice. They worked out pretty good. Like unless you're sitting in like right field, anything in the lower bowl is good.
I had a buddy that went to the one at Wrigley Field and he paid I don't remember the exact amount, a fair amount of money.
That's a huge
and he park, had though. He had the television tower in front of him. Nobody in their section could see anything. They had to watch it on the big screen. He said, I stood outside froze my ass off watching a game on a big screen.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. They are what they are. Yeah. I just think they've, you know what? I've always said this. The All-Star game should be the outdoor Winter Classic.
Yeah.
Easy. I don't know. Now it's January. It's the dog days of the season are here. And, honestly, this is the time of year where the going gets tough for NHL teams and usually the good teams rise to the top. So, that'll be interesting to watch through the month of January and February.
Yep. No, this is where, the good teams kind of separate themselves and you see like what teams are going to be playoff teams. I mean, you can kind of figure that out in November, but this is where the schedules get tougher for sure. I mean, yeah. It only gets harder. That's right. Know?
Big show today. Lots to talk about. We're going to talk about Ovechkin climbing the goal ladder to start off. Did you know, a quick fact on Ovechkin, there is only two players in the league that have consecutive 20-goal seasons, eight consecutive 20-goal seasons. Can you name the other one? Ovechkin's one. There's two players in the league.
Are they active players?
Yep, two active players in the NHL that have eight consecutive 20-goal seasons.
The easy answer would say Sid.
You're wrong.
Easy guess. I know that wouldn't be correct.
You're not going to get it right. Can I tell you that?
Okay, can I get a hint?
He plays in the Central Conference or Central Division.
Central Division. Oh, is it Philip Forsberg?
No. He plays, I'm making this really easy for you. He plays for a Canadian team.
In the Central. Oh, so it's on the Jets. Is it Kyle Connor?
No.
Shifley? Wheeler? Yep.
Shifley.
Mark Shifley, eh?
Yeah.
Hmm.
After that, Ovechkin talk. We'll go around the league, talk of World Juniors, Makar's penalty, McDavid hit, save percentages, Leafs get fined, Devils, they have found their way down the standings. And we'll talk a little bit about your buddy in Vancouver having a little pout session.
Oh, my God.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the Great Eight. Not the Great One, the Great Eight. We'll see if someday he is the Great One.
Break Gretzky's record. Are we talking about that same Great Eight?
I might be backing up on my comments a little bit. But
I said two years ago that he's going to break it. Never forget that.
Did you? Yeah, you also said the Devils are going to win within the week of that, so...
No, that is not true. That is not true.
I don't know. I will see. He's, 92 away from Wayne Gretzky. And
pace for 50-plus goals this year.
Yeah, I mean, he's literally on fire. But he passes Gordie Howe last week, and Gordie Howe was at 801. And, you know, everybody's, you know, wondering, will he pass Gretzky? And I'd said for years that I didn't think he would. I still think a lot can happen, but I think the chances are greater now that he does than doesn't.
Right.
But let's talk a little bit about, do we want him to break Gretzky's record?
Yeah, records are set to be broken. What do you mean? All records are set to be broken. And at the time, like 5, 6, 7 years ago, you're thinking like, you're looking at the records like, fuck, 894, like nobody's scoring 894 goals. And now, 7 years later, you're asking yourself, can Ovechkin score 1,000? Because I think it's a serious question. Like, if he plays the duration of his contract, which is this year plus 4 more,
I think he's got, but
it's a fair question to ask. Like, it's not about, the question isn't about, the question isn't, if, it's when he breaks Gretzky's record, because I think it's happening for sure.
I still think a lot can happen. I mean, he's not a young man anymore. He's been very healthy his whole career. He has.
He's been durable, yep, right?
For sure.
Think about this. So his first season, lockout. 2013, he missed 40 games because of a lockout. 2020, he missed 40 games.
Okay, but Gretzky missed games too.
But I'm just saying though, he might have already broken the record if he had 200 more games played, right?
Well, I know, but Gretzky might have broken hit 1,000. That goes both ways. So, I mean, you can argue that. And you know, you answered the question. Yes, you want him to break it. And I'm not saying I don't want him to break it, but Blake, you got to look at this from a little bit different perspective. I come from a generation behind you where I watched Gretzky growing up, and I was a Flames fan. So that's holding something against the great one, but the respect factor is enormous for him. And I'm not disrespecting Ovechkin by making this comment, but when it's your genre of history, there are certain things you don't necessarily want to have broken. Just like I know there's some really old school guys that didn't want to see Gordie Howe get passed when Gretzky did.
Yeah.
Yeah. That doesn't mean that I'm not cheering for him. That just means that it's like, you know, it's like a part of your history gone.
Right. Yeah. And I think like, it's just a matter of time. Like, I think Ovechkin's the greatest goal scorer in the NHL history. Just the technology.
Is he the greatest player though?
No, he's not the greatest player. He's the, absolutely not. I mean, he's probably a top 10 player of all time.
Oh yeah, how do you not?
He might even be top 7, maybe.
He might be top 5.
But he's
besides Cale Makar, I don't know who else is.
he's the greatest goal scorer in NHL history. Like the goaltending is a lot better now than when Gretzky played.
But technology is better.
The technology of the sticks is way better. Right?
I would have loved to have seen Gretzky with a composite stick and skates that had support in them.
But the thing about Ovi is he stands in that one spot. Everybody knows it's coming to him and he still blows it by the goalie at age 36. Like it's incredible how he just continues to find ways to get it done, right? I mean, it never amazes you. Like, I mean, Ovechkin has a hat trick. Not surprised.
Did you find it slightly ironic that it was on an empty netter?
Yeah, I mean, he's got the second most empty netters of all time. So, I mean, that's definitely, 54 helped the way. Yeah. But I mean, the pace that he's on at the age he's at, it's incredible.
You know, I thought the response from the Howe family was good. Really, they were. That made me feel more open to the record. Yeah. And obviously we're going to get to talk and hear Wayne Gretzky talk a lot, in the coming years.
And Gretzky wants him to break it, right? That's what Gretzky says. Like, hey, like my records are meant to be broken. Like that's what he says.
I'm going to preface this now. You were pretty little, so you can't really comment.
You can't what?
You were pretty little, so you didn't have a formed brain enough to figure this out.
When Gretzky retired, I was 1 year old.
I understand that. But in 2005, when Ovechkin started to come onto the scene, how old were you?
I would have been 7 years old.
That's what I mean. I would have guessed 8. Okay. Well, I watched him in the World Juniors in Grand Forks.
Yeah, it's 7 points.
The greatest games. It was the greatest World Juniors simply because the NHL was on lockout. And you look at the teams and it was like, holy, you know.
Phaneuf, Crosby, Bergeron, Getzlaf, Fleury. It was good.
Off the charts. And you look Malkin, Ovechkin. I mean, every roster was stacked to the hilt. And I watched Ovechkin melt down in that tournament.
Yeah.
Melt down.
He got hammered by Dion Phaneuf.
He did, and he melted down, caved in, and went off the ice early. Not because he was injured, but like left the ice like at the end of the game. Like, and I had zero respect for him. I had zero at that time. I thought, how the hell does a guy do this? It's supposed to be this elite player. Right? Mm-hmm. Well, fast forward to 2012, I believe, was the first time that I met Alexander Ovechkin at the NHL Awards Show. And so going into it, my expectations for him being a cool dude were not very high.
Yeah.
And I've met him 3 times at the award show. And he is a great guy. And the last year, I don't know if he's just relaxed even in his more in his older age, but in 2016 or 17, I can't remember which award show it was, he was comical and fun to talk to and kind of was the I don't want to say the jokester of the award show, but in a way was kind of the jokester. And that made me want to cheer for him a little bit more. I thought the Jets coming over and shaking hands with Ovechkin was top notch. All in all, I thought the whole thing was really, really a cool thing. And probably didn't get as much publicity nationally outside of the hockey world than I thought it would. Unfortunately, the good news for Ovechkin is followed with bad news this week as Ukrainian-Canadian Congress. What is that? Can you explain to me what that is?
I have no idea. I can't even answer that.
They've asked the Canadian government to refuse Alex Ovechkin permission to travel to Canada.
No, and the government of Canada, they'll probably pass that law, so that sucks for Ovi.
I know.
Trudeau will get right on that.
I'm sure he'll wreck this, too.
Jesus. I didn't want to talk about this.
No, I just wanted to bring it up.
Absolutely dumbfounded when I saw a notification. I'm just like, what is going on?
I don't know. That's a train wreck. That is a full-out train wreck. And I don't know.
We could do a two-hour pod on that.
No, I don't want to talk about politics for 2 hours. I don't even want to talk about it for 2 more minutes. So that being said, let's fast forward and talk around the NHL. All right, time to go around the league. We got all kinds of stuff to talk about, so we're going to have to fast forward just a little bit because you know what, Blake? In all the time we've done this show, I've had some really crummy 3 questions for you, and this week, it's one of my best.
Stepping up the game, eh?
I did. I had 2 freaking weeks to do it, dude.
Let me guess. One of them is about JT Miller.
No. Let's go. Let's rewind a little bit further than what I expected to talk about, but I had to talk about this. But right after we recorded our last show, our 200th episode, Cale Makar was called for a penalty that he declined, basically. And I don't understand how this happens in hockey, but the officials let him decline it and said there was no penalty on the play, even though the ref called the penalty. How the hell does this happen? Why does this happen?
I've seen it twice, and it's happened. It happened with Makar, and it happened last year with Ovechkin.
Yeah, the Ovechkin one was, but it wasn't as bad, though.
It's crazy, but...
Well, the Ovechkin one wasn't whistled down, though, was it? He, like, yelled.
Yes. No, it was whistled down.
It was.
It was the same thing. But, like, at least you can respect Makar's, like,
I totally do.
Because it was a complete dive, but then to...
It wasn't like, a dive. It was not a dive.
He lost his edge. He lost an edge. So it was a great like sportsmanship and integrity on Makar's part. But then and then the comments was like, yeah, I'm never doing that again.
He shouldn't do that again. And here's why. Not that I don't want people to be honest. I do want people to be honest. But let's be honest. The officials bunghole calls left and right.
He's in a bad position. The ref's in a bad position too.
Like, you know, I mean, it just. I know. When I saw it happen, I was just like,
You don't see it often. No. I've only seen it twice.
No.
In the last 2 years.
Yeah. Unreal. McDavid was hit by Uyghur a week ago now as he was coming across. And me and you texted each other after this. And I was interested to see what you thought. And I thought right away, no call. And I don't know if you even argued. You could maybe give it a call for a tripping, but the fact of the matter is, Uyghur never changed his line. McDavid is the one, and it's a tribute to you that he, that he's as talented as he is to be able to do this. But he puts himself in this situation because he's so laterally shifty that this isn't going to be the first time even this year that happens.
No. It's like Uyghur skating straight at him.
He never turns.
He cuts to the left. They collide knee on knee. Is it a 2-minute kneeing penalty?
Maybe.
Yeah. But what I was disappointed in is that's the Oilers' best player. He's the best player in the world. And not a single person even grabbed Uyghur.
No, but
that was the most concerning thing for me. I'm not saying jump Uyghur and drop the gloves. Just grab him and say and show that you got a pulse. Like,
do they have a pulse? What that
showed me is Edmonton has no toughness.
Well,
zero.
Do without Kane in the lineup, they don't.
He's got anyone. You mean call him tough?
No, but Kane will do.
He will fight.
He will do things, though. I mean, I don't. Yeah,
he got
Darnell
Nurse, who's this big bad tough guy. He's a pussy too.
You know, right now, if you said to me, if it was your turn for three questions,
probably the most overpaid D-man in the league.
He's probably the most overrated player in the league. Overpaid.
He makes what, 9.25?
Yeah, it's a horrible contract. And you talk to an Oilers fan and they'll swear up and down it's not a bad contract. I know every one of them goes to bed at night thinking, son of a bitch.
Yeah. He should be making $5 million.
Well, I mean, there's a lot better defensemen in this league making $6 million. A lot.
Yeah. Yep.
A lot.
I'm with you. I was just dumbfounded though that nobody grabbed him. I'm just like,
I kind of was too.
Yeah, that means what that told me is McDavid is open season. You just run at him all game. Nobody's going to do anything.
No, I don't think anybody.
Could you imagine if the Oilers didn't have Semenko and McSorley and Gretzky play, they would have killed Gretzky out there.
You know,
they had to have those guys because the Oilers knew this is our meal ticket. This is how we get success.
Nobody even touched and Gretzky.
But when those two were on the ice, it struck fear in the opponent. Hey, if we touch Gretzky, we're going to have to pay for it.
Yeah.
You can just drill McDavid. They're going to do anything.
Right? I'm interested to see.
Concerning?
Well, if you're an Oilers fan, it is. I'm interested to see how that goes this year. But I'm also interested to see, this is not even, like, I can't even count on one hand. I don't even know what I'm saying right now, but, this happens more than you would think to Gretzky. This is not even close to the first time I've seen this happen.
To Gretzky?
Or not Gretzky, to McDavid. He's shifted his way out of the play. It happened a couple weeks ago too. And this is going to happen and continue to happen.
Well, just he plays the game so damn fast.
Because he's that quick and he's that shifty. I saw a graphic. I believe Daily Faceoff had it all too, which, by the way, that is one of my favorite. Right with Cap Friendly, that is one of the best websites out there. They had the save percentages broken down by division.
And we talked about this, didn't we?
No, we kind of did, but I wanted to bring up one. We dove into it really deep, and we're not going to dive into the deep. But I started to think about this the other night. And I started to think about, like, what division has some really big snipers in it? You know, McDavid, Dreisaitl, I mean, cheapers. It's the Pacific.
Snipers? I would argue that the Atlantic has the most.
Would you really?
I mean, you got Marner, you got Matthews, you got Stamkos, you got Barkov.
Yeah, true.
You got Marchand.
Well, what I was getting at is I was going to try to protect. I was going to try to Kachuk. I was going to. He might be the best tipper. He's not the best sniper. I was gonna try to defend the Pacific Division goalies a little bit since they're at 0.898 and everybody else is at 0.914 and 912. But I don't
seriously?
Know.
Seriously? Every division is above 910?
The Atlantic is at 0.914, the Metro is at 0.914, the Central's at 0.912, and the Pacific's at 0.898.
Wow.
It's a huge discrepancy. And I'm trying to, I don't know, I brought it up today on the show because I'm trying to figure out why the hell there's that big a discrepancy. I don't think the goalies are that bad in that division. I don't. I really don't.
Well, I mean, when you look at it, right, all you got to do is look. Demko's had a poor year. Campbell's had a poor year. Markstrom's had a poor year, right?
Coming back a little bit.
He's getting better, but his save percentage is eight in the 890s. Quick's had a poor year. Cal Peterson's had a poor year. The only good goalie right now is in Vegas, right?
Skinner's at .913.
Oh, and Skinner too, right? I forgot about Skinner.
If Edmonton really, doesn't think Skinner's their meal ticket in this, they're out of their mind.
They're crazy.
If they keep trying to plug Campbell out there, that's not going
to
work.
They're trying to. I mean, you can't fault them. You signed to a 5x5. You got to try to get this guy going somehow.
I agree.
And honestly, like,
but you can't do it when you're on the last playoff spot.
I think they're going to put him on waivers. I'm serious. He's going to go down to Bakersfield and play every game. He's got to play. The only way he can get out of this is if you play.
I agree.
Nobody's claiming him.
No, God, no.
I mean, unless Buffalo or Arizona claim him, that's only really two options that, I mean, if you're Arizona, what do you got to lose?
You don't have anything to lose. If I'm Arizona, I'm claiming him.
I would too. But that's the only risk that Edmonton would have.
Because you've got to spend the money anyways.
And the thing, and if Arizona does claim him, Edmonton's got a capable goalie to step in and be the starter, and they have $5 million cap space. Yeah. It's almost like they were, a mistake would be corrected.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I don't know. They don't got much options because he needs to play. He needs to play. That's the only way to get out of this funk.
The Leafs were fined $100,000 this week for a CBA violation for traveling on a day off.
They traveled an hour before they were supposed to. Like, I don't know.
You have to rule.
It's like somebody at the airport. Hey, these guys left at 10. Get Gary on the phone.
That's the rule. And no, it's not it's Gary. Rule. Hey, it's it not. I'm sorry. It's no, not it's Gary. The it's the NHLPA's part of it.
Yeah.
I thought it was hilarious just because.
And then they got another PP slap and Sheldon Keefe got fined $25K. So it was an expensive day there for the Maple Leafs.
He should have got fined more than that.
But like.
You should have tossed him.
It was an absolute ridiculous missed call.
It was. Like, they should have tossed him.
Did you see the Kyle Connor missed high stick against Minnesota last week?
I did not know.
It was on Tuesday night, last Tuesday, so the day after we recorded pod. There, Winnipeg has an empty net. They're down a goal. Kyle Connor skating up the ice. The guy, I think it was Erickson Ek, he literally stuck him right here. He had like a dash like that, and it was thick too, just gushing blood.
But what are
the refs looking at? Well, it was right in front of the refs.
Like, I don't know.
You're looking at Kyle Connor coming up the ice.
See, here's the deal with the officiating. Here's the deal with officiating. I can live with them missing a high stick better than I can live with the inconsistencies on goalie interference or offsides, or I can live with the missing of a trip.
That malicious?
Hey, oof. Well, if you're not looking that way, you're not looking that way, whether it's malicious or not malicious. I mean, you miss the big ones like the little ones on a high stick if you're not looking that way. No. You know, that's the only thing I can say in their defense there. I can live without that versus the freaking goalie interference things where it's like, you know, it's a 50-50 chance on what happens there, you know.
Yeah, like that. Where was it? Saturday night versus Calgary. Patterson scores the second goal. Horvat just runs into Markstrom, and I'm like, well, Markstrom's way out of the blue paint, but Horvat ran into him, and then they didn't challenge it. I'm like, I don't know.
Out of the blue paint. Like, you don't know anymore. Kinda, you're too afraid to.
I know.
You're too afraid to challenge him.
I know. You get a 2 minute.
And all Calgary was, all they were thinking is, well, we're playing the Canucks here. We got to be able to score a couple more fucking goals and it shouldn't be a problem, right?
Yeah.
New Jersey, oh boy, this team's falling back to earth. They've got 2 wins in their last 11.
Well, I mean, when you start the season 22-4, you can afford to lose a little bit, but
they better watch their horses here now though, because
I think they'll figure it out.
Do you think so? Cause I don't.
It was expected to go through a little lull here. Like, come on. They're not going to stay at 22-4.
11 games is a long lull.
Okay. Look at Buffalo now though. Well, what are they in their last 10? 8-2?
They're 7-2-1.
Yeah, like it's a ebbs and flows of a long season. You're going to have your ups, you're going to have your downs.
Let's talk a little bit about those ebbs. Carolina 10-0. Washington's come back to earth. They've got healthy. They're 8-1-1. Boston, they keep
rolling. And they're going to be adding. They're going to be adding at the deadline, too. They're going to be in mark for center.
Tampa Bay has pulled things together. Winners of 3 in a row. They're 8-2 in their last 10. The Rangers have figured things out a little bit. They're 7-2-1.
Okay, one team I want to talk about.
Florida's still struggling.
So I was just going to bring up. And Florida doesn't have their first overall pick this year. Nope. And this is not the year to suck. This is like for a top team without a first round pick, this ain't the year to miss playoffs.
And Calgary got that pick and then traded it to Montreal.
Who? No.
Yes, they did.
Monahan trade?
Yeah.
No, that was from the, that was, I'm pretty sure that's the Ben Sherrod pick. They gave up a first round pick.
You're telling me that
first was in the Kachuk trade?
Yeah.
Montreal's first?
No. Listen to me. Florida's first round pick was part of the Huberdeau thing.
And then you flipped it to Montreal.
We flipped it to Montreal to get Monahan out, to sweeten the pot, to get rid of Monahan.
Okay.
And Treliving's thinking it's going to be a low pick because Florida president's, it just is what it is. I mean, you can't sweat.
Imagine
those.
If Montreal wins the lottery with that pick. That would suck.
Oh, they'll ruin whoever they get anyways. So,
yeah. That's crazy.
A couple other crazy teams. Minnesota 8-2 in their last 10. LA 6-2-2. They're good. Calgary's got points in 8 of their last 10.
Yep.
There's one other one here that I thought was interesting. I guess that's it. Colorado coming back to earth a little bit. 6-3-1 in their last 10 there. Figuring things out. Now let's talk about.
Well, they're getting healthy too.
They are. It helps when you get Nathan
McKinnon's back. That'll help. Landeskog will be coming back.
So you were at the game, whatever night it was, Thursday night. JT Miller has his 10th outburst now as a Vancouver Canuck, react like a 2-year-old child. And he starts slashing the back of the net, yelling at his goalie to get off, which it's not his fucking job to tell the goalie when to get off. It's the coach's job. But he showed up his goalie, he showed up his teammates, and I don't know. If you're a Vancouver Canucks fan, you want to get rid of him, and get rid of him now. I watched him in the Calgary. Hey, hang on, let me point one more thing. Saturday night in the Calgary game, the most lazy play I've ever seen results in Calgary's first goal, and the second goal for Calgary was another lazy line change by JT Miller, and I don't know. How is that acceptable?
But even before they changed, they still had a 2-on-1. Like, Miller's not going to catch him. They had a 2-on-1 from the red line. Nobody was catching him.
On the second one. But on the first one,
that's what I'm saying.
He gave up on the play. 100% lazy-ass move. And if you're Bo Horvat, you're sitting there thinking, I'm the leader of this team, and they want him. I am taking the next plane out of here. They offer me $15 million. I'm still leaving.
Okay, so let's talk about the incident in Winnipeg. I was at the other end. I was in the corner. I saw him go back. I understand JT's frustrations. Like,
he rolled all the way to the blue line and rolled all the way back.
But he gets the puck from Besser, goes back, you have full control. Miller's thinking, okay, Dealey, I'm going to go circle back behind my net. While I'm circling back, Dealey is going to go to the net, go to the bench. We're going to get Pettersson on, and we're going to go up as a six-man unit. I understand why he did what he did. And he thought
you don't ever show back, up your teammate like that.
But I understand what Miller was doing. He's trying to go up the ice on a 6-on-5. That's what he was trying to do. I can't argue with that. I don't agree with him slamming his stick. And even Boudreau said that it's his fault. Should have called him to the bench. It is what it is. I think it got blown way out of proportion. I would agree. I really don't think it is a big deal.
Like it's, that single incident is not a huge deal.
Fight in practice, for God's sake.
Blake, listen to me. This is one of many times JT Miller has done that, and he's been in Vancouver for a little over a year or 2 years now.
What are you talking about?
He's had multiple incidents where he
came in 2019.
Okay, 3 years. COVID, whatever.
This is fourth year.
Fourth year. Okay.
He's a competitive guy. Like, he wants to win.
Oh, yeah. He looks competitive on Saturday night when he gave up on his play. He's competitive when he wants to be competitive. He's not competitive all the time.
There's a lot of players that are like that, though. Well,
those are the guys you don't want on your team. And you sure as hell don't want him as a leader. If you're the Vancouver Canucks, you've got to be worried. This guy is your future. You've got to be worried. There's no way.
It's Pettersson's team. He showed that this year.
I don't know.
It's his team.
He's the most talented on the team for sure.
This is his team.
Yeah, but this whole team's attitude goes through JT Miller. And I'm not in the locker room. You're not in the locker room. Neither one of us are. I guarantee you 75% of that locker room hates that guy's guts.
We don't know.
But I know I would hate him. And if I was Colin Dealey, I'd be like, this guy's chewing my ass for not going off when he's given efforts like that.
But just going back to that game, like it was, that was a really cool atmosphere Thursday night.
Arena's the best in the league.
I haven't been there since 2018, and the Canucks scored 40 seconds in. I'm like, holy shit, like what's going on here? And then I saw a penalty shot goal. I saw a hat trick. So it was a really cool atmosphere. Really cool atmosphere.
Yeah. No, first I love Winnipeg.
First live game since 2019.
I think Winnipeg is one of the best in the league.
Probably top three.
It is. It's great. Great atmosphere.
It's not the biggest, but it's got an unreal atmosphere.
That's part of the, I think it's part of it is that it makes it really, really good.
Yeah.
Really good. All right. Time for three questions.
It's time for three questions.
My turn to fire three questions off at Blake, and I think I got some pretty good ones this week. Let's do it. Number one, last week was a dark day in the National Hockey League when Red Wings defenseman Jake Walman scores an overtime winner over the Pittsburgh Penguins, capping off a killer comeback. He celebrated by doing the gritty. Is this acceptable in the National Hockey League?
I like it. It's the kids' game. You're seeing the Zegras Michigan, the Zegras flip. People are all about style now, and it's a kids' game. It is. If you cannot like it or not, we're gonna see this stuff continue to happen. It's a kids' game. Let the kids play, right?
I would have said,
I know you hated it. You would have clubbed him right in the head.
I would mark the calendar for the next time we played them, and that guy would go off in a stretcher.
I was watching the game live and I'm like, Brad's ears are steaming right now.
I got a question. You keep saying it's a kid's game. It's a kid's game.
It is a kid's game.
What I've seen amongst the younger generation is
the
not...
The creativity's off the charts.
The teamwork is off the charts bad, too.
Yeah, I mean, What does Tort say? What is that line? It's a young, dumb league. Remember when he said that?
Yeah, I do. He's right. And you know what? Right. We're going to talk about the World Juniors here in a minute. I just want to preface it by this. Canada loses game one of the World Juniors because they're a young, dumb team.
Yeah. I mean, they tried the Michigan three times, and it just goes to show you. And the States did the same thing, and they lost their first game.
And no, they lost their second game. But yeah.
Our second game. But
that's not how you win.
They both lost the same way, but to underdogs.
You do that in Russia, and the coach puts you in the locker room, turns the lights off, and beats the living piss out of you. Listen to Nikita Zadorov's interview on Spit and Chicklets.
About what?
Eye-opening.
About Russia?
Yeah.
I'll have to do that.
You have to do it.
How is his English?
Very good. Very good. Okay, question number two. A bizarre sequence happened last week when the Canadians took on the Panthers. During an after-whistle scrum, Montreal player Joel Edmondson was trying to get at Radko Gudas, big shocker, in a melee, and Edmondson tripped the linesman in an awkwardly falling manner and injured the linesman. Looked like he blew his knee out, basically. Should Edmondson face separate discipline for injuring an official?
Did he mean to do it, though? Like, I don't know.
Okay, that was my first question, right? But here's what I was thinking on it.
If he continued,
he didn't intentionally hurt him. He didn't. But he continued the altercation after it had been broke up, causing the ref to lose his footing as he's jerking at going at Gudas, and all of a sudden, the referee is on the ground with a blown knee.
Yeah,
that's where I'm like, ooh.
It's an unfortunate situation.
If it would have happened in the initial scrum, I would have been like, bad deal. But then the scrum continues, and then I'm like, all right, now you got to pay the Piper.
Nothing happened to him, right?
I don't know what the exact results were on that.
I'll have to check.
Well, question number three. Staying with the officials topic. Michael Bunting of the Toronto Maple Leafs was forcefully escorted off the ice by the linesman, in which a linesman was shoving Bunting, is trying to get him to go out the door as Bunting was refusing to go. Did the official overstep his bounds?
Listen, if I was Bunting, I would have beat the ref's ass. So I didn't take the 10-game suspension, whatever it is. Seriously,
if he'd have beat he would have.
Why? Why does the ref? Why does the ref have the power to shove a player like that? That's unacceptable.
No, it's not. I'm gonna put it to you this way. He told the player, "Listen to me. Just listen to me.
He was skating to the ball. He was skating to get off the ice.
He kept turning to go back. And you know what? You know what? That's what's wrong with this young society right now. Okay. They don't listen to authority. The official told him to get off, and he wouldn't get off. You know what? You know what you do next time? The official just let him go do it, and then you know what you do? Okay. The league suspends him for 50 games for not listening to an official.
And if the ref pushed McDavid like that, he would get suspended.
Oh my God, Blake!
Dude, you can't. Why can a ref do that? The Bunting wasn't doing anything wrong. He was not trying to circle back.
Players do it too. The players are abusive to the referees on a nightly basis.
Sure, but the refs give it right back. Refs mic'd up.
You know what?
Give it right back to him.
I'm not talking about verbally. I'm talking about physically.
Oh my God! When do the players ever physically abuse the refs? What are you talking about?
There is tons of times in fights that the referee breaks it up and they're pulling the player to the penalty box and the player's jerking at the ref. I've seen 100 incidents.
Oh my God, man. It's because they're in the middle of, they're trying to break it up. He's trying to reach at the player across the ref.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when they're pulling him towards the penalty box.
Most abuse
happens all the ref time.
Is verbal and it goes both ways. The ref
talking
right
about,
back to
I'm
the
not
players.
Talking about verbal. I'm not
but
talking
what
about
that linesman did to Bunting was wrong.
I don't think so.
It was wrong. It was wrong. There's no way about it. It was wrong.
No. I completely disagree. Completely disagree. That's what's wrong with the younger generation. All right. Okay. Listener question from Miller Arts, Rochester, New York. The New York Rangers forward Alexei Lafreniere is a healthy scratch against the Tampa Bay Lightning last week and was demoted to the fourth line, sparking trade rumors. If the Rangers were to trade him, what would the asking price be?
Yeah, I read an article today that the Canucks are kicking tires around him, but I don't know. Like I don't know.
He would be perfect in Vancouver. He would be perfect. Lazy. Ah, he'd be perfect. Fit in perfect. Number one pick. That's not very good.
But I don't know what his value is because
not like, very good.
He's under contract for 3 more years. Would it be like, I don't want to call him a bust because I still think he can be a good player, but like, would it be like a reclamation project for a reclamation project? Like, would it be a Lafreniere for a Puliarvi? I don't know. Like, well, I don't know what his value is.
I think he's worth more than Puliarvi, I think.
No, but I'm saying like that type of player, like two guys that need fresh starts, Edmonton puts a little bit more in there.
According to one of the Rangers reporters, the Rangers are looking for a first round pick and a top end player. That's not happening.
I mean, I could see like a Puliarvi and a third round pick.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Like I think like it'll be a trade like that. Like,
you know what? If he's going to get traded, he'll go to a Canadian team because Canadian teams view first overall picks differently than U.S. teams.
Same Edmonton. I mean, he'll fit right
in. He'll fit right in with all the other busts, right?
Yep.
All right, let's talk World Juniors quickly before we wrap up the show. A tournament that I'll give you that it's been exciting. Part that I will not agree with is I can't watch this type of hockey. I can't.
No, like I don't.
I can't.
I hate the, hey, we're going to call a five right now and then review it. It's like,
oh my God. Everything's a five.
You're just putting the refs in a impossible spot. I mean, that's right from the IIHF. Hey, call it a five and then review it. And then if you need to rescind it down to two, do that.
Everything's
a five. I mean, everything. Canada's got two guys kicked out. One was a, like a roughing penalty. One was a 2-minute kneeing penalty. It's like, what the fuck? I don't know, but like
and the today, penalty tonight though, that cross-checking Bedard wasn't called all game.
It wasn't called all game, but it's
so you
it's
call it with 30 seconds.
Neck. It's up near the neck. That's why it got called.
Bedard dove big time. Got cross-checked, but he embellished the shit out of it.
Oh, hey, did you see Shane Wright dive into the boards?
I did not.
That was even worse.
But what I'm
behind
saying
behind the net, he gets bumped and then he like dove into the boards. Listen.
It's so embarrassing though for the sport. You have to call consistent through the game. And if you're going to call that, that's fine. But it is technically by the rules a penalty. But you have to call that in the first period. You have to call it in the second. You got to call it for both teams. And I'm not saying they were, you know, favoring Canada. I'm just saying that then if you're going to call that in overtime, you have to call an interference when the.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When the Slovakian guy gets edged off, having the puck.
It's definitely different though. Like they call it a wax on the goalies after the whistle. Like it's a different style of game.
It's called the no fun hockey league.
But
not having Russia in the tournaments.
Connor Bedard is unbelievable.
I'm going to make a prediction.
Whoever is getting Connor Bedard is literally getting the lottery. I mean, it's. The guy is insane. The goal he scored today was insane.
I don't know how he translates to the National Hockey League.
What do you mean? He has an unbelievable release.
I agree.
Unbelievable.
I agree.
Like it is.
And he has the ability.
Worldly. He has the ability to change the angle in any shot.
He's missing one thing.
He's not very big. I get it.
He's going to get abused.
Listen. Hold on. How's Cole Caulfield do? Fine. He does fine.
He's not going to be a generational player, though.
No, but Connor Bedard is way more skilled than him.
We'll see.
You can't hit him if you can't catch him.
You got a lot of big defensemen in the league that are going to lean on him.
Yeah, no, he'll get his licks, but he's going to make a lot of D-men look really silly.
Yeah, but he's not going to be a Connor McDavid type player. He's not going to be a Nathan McKinnon type player.
You can't say that.
I don't know that. You can't say that he's going to be the greatest ever. I mean, Blake, you're the same one that told me Alexei Lafreniere was out of this world 4 years ago.
Oh my God, stop.
I did
not call him a generational player. No, I did not.
Are you kidding me?
I thought he's going to be good. I didn't say he's generational. That's a big word. I would love to find the footage on this one.
I think I can. Okay. I'm pretty sure I can. I gotta look at the dates and try to narrow it down.
I will own it. If you pull the tapes,
I'm almost positive you said that this guy's generation. I'm 98% sure that I've got it on audio.
Okay, if you do, and I'll admit when I'm wrong, but I don't think I said that. But
you say that about every number one pick. You do, Blake. You just have the whack off session for every number one pick.
What Connor Bedard is doing at age 17.
It's unreal.
And who knows?
He is shattering records.
It is insane. He could play two more World Juniors. He's not, but he can. It's insane what he's doing.
Physically, he may develop more.
What?
Physically, he may develop a lot more. He may grow another 2 inches. We don't know. He's 17. Yeah. I'm just saying right now, you put him in the NHL, and I've talked to a couple people in Regina that are respectable hockey people that say he is the most amazing player they've ever watched, but they are worries how he translates to National Hockey League style. And understandably, the only thing that
maybe will be a struggle for him to translate is maybe his skating.
Oh, I think he's a good skater. I'm more worried about how is he going to handle the tree trunks in the middle of the slot. Because in junior hockey, it's a little easier. And the WHL is a hell of a hard hockey league to play.
Yeah, it is.
But it's a hell of a step going, though, from what I feel is one of the strongest junior league defense.
It's probably the best for a guy's development.
For sure it is. And he's proven 10 times over that he can handle it. But the tree trunks get bigger. The arms are longer. The sticks are stronger.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not boohooing him. I think he's amazing. I heard one person tell me that if he was a GM of a National Hockey League team, he would play without a goaltender the rest of the league to ensure that he got the draft pick.
Seriously.
I thought that was funny. But the fact is, I hate how we have so many people that are like, oh, this guy's going to be the greatest of all time. And
nobody's saying that.
I'm just saying that I look at a McDavid coming out of juniors, and I look at a Bedard coming out of juniors.
And what Bedard's doing is more impressive than McDavid.
Yes, but I think the odds were better for McDavid.
And he's doing it in a harder league to play in.
He is. But I'm just telling you that at least McDavid has the size where he's not going to get beat down as quite as much.
For sure. And McDavid's way faster.
And he is way 100%. Faster. So there's it's a different type of a player here.
But Bedard's got better hands. He's got a better shot than McDavid. I don't know. They're both good in their own ways.
I know. It's just going to be very interesting to see how it translates to the league. And I'm not boohooing him. And I just
hope he doesn't go to Arizona.
I was just going to say the same thing. And it's not a knock on Arizona. It's just the situation. I kind of hope that he doesn't go to Anaheim. I don't know.
If he doesn't go to Vancouver, I hope he doesn't go to the Pacific team. I do not want that guy in my division.
I got a gut feeling that he's going to end up in Chicago. My gut tells me that.
And Kane leave and that's the next guy.
My gut told me I was going to shit my pants last night about 3 a.m. too. So I don't know what that is. I just feel. I don't know. I just feel. And you know what? Is there a franchise that
needs him more than Vancouver? No, definitely not. Yeah.
He'd go to Vancouver and sit next to JT Miller in the stall one day and be like, get me the fuck out of here. I don't know. Chicago, he's a breath of fresh air in Chicago if they could get him.
I don't want to say he's generational, but I think he could be like a franchise player. That's a little different than generational.
Stop.
Cool. We're running a little long here. What else we got to talk about?
Nothing. We're going to go. Holiday break's over. We're back on track. Check back next Monday night. Yeah. We're back. Same place. same time, actually a little bit earlier next week since we won't have technical difficulties. Back next week, Monday night, 9 o'clock Central, live, Facebook, Twitter. Check us out at Debate Hockey. Enjoy this week's hockey action. Hockey Talk every week, the Debate Hockey Podcast. Connected to the Debate Hockey Podcast on all forms of social media. Follow the show on Twitter at Debate Hockey and follow the hosts on Twitter at Brad Brood and at Friars Blake. The Debate Hockey Podcast can also be found on Facebook, and check out the podcast website for all the current and archived shows at debatehockey.com. Get connected, stay connected for insight, opinions, and yes, controversy. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts Brad Brood and Blake Friars. For more great content and to stay up to date, check out debatehockey.com and on Twitter at Debate Hockey. We'll catch you next time. This episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast was copyrighted and produced by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.